We are back with more of Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Bonnie North. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, but while awareness has increased, many women and men continue to die from this disease. One organization that's trying to make change in breast cancer policies and research is the Wisconsin Breast Cancer Coalition. For the past 20 years, the WBCC has hosted an annual Rare Chair Affair. It's a fundraiser where breast cancer survivors and family members who have lost loved ones create unique works of art by designing and painting repurposed chairs that reflect their breast cancer stories. Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski traveled to their painting space recently to meet Kelly Gramblika and Tina Tim, two of the 13 artists that are participating in this year's event. Gramblika begins by sharing her story.
I was diagnosed in March of 2010 with stage 3 triple negative breast cancer. I was 39 years old, and it was extremely devastating, I guess you would say. And I was a single mom with 3 kids, and they needed to start chemo like the day I feel that they told me I had cancer. And I felt like I needed a year to decide whether or not I wanted treatment. But the next week after they told me, I started, and 6 months or so later, I was done with chemo and radiation and moving on to surgery. And, you know, the rest is history. A year later, I was clear. And now I'm 9 years later, and I'm a survivor.
Was it a surprise diagnosis, or did you go in because you noticed something different in your body?
I went in because I had found a lump in my left breast while taking a shower.
What was your first thought when they gave you, well, first when you discovered the lump, and then when you got that confirmation of the diagnosis?
Well, when I discovered the lump, I thought it was strange because it wasn't there the day before, and how quickly something like that could pop out of your skin. But I knew that my grandmother had breast cancer, and I had spoke with my doctor about 4 months prior to that, and he had said if I wanted to have a mammogram, I could, even though I wasn't realistically considered old enough because of insurance purposes. So, but he gave me a prescription to get one and had it sitting in on the counter for me. So I called that number, and so I was able to like call it right away and get in for the mammogram once I seen it.
And for you?
I was diagnosed in January of this year with stage 1. I had 2 tumors in my right breast, 2 different cancers actually. Even though I was a candidate for a lumpectomy with radiation, I opted to do the bilateral mastectomy in lieu of that to avoid radiation. It did not spread to my lymph nodes, so I did not need chemotherapy. I'm very, very grateful, very blessed. It was caught very early. I found it on a routine mammogram, and I knew that day, which is, you know, looking back, you know, and seeing this mass, this angry mass of tissue that the imaging consultant had me, you know, come over and look at it when I asked why she wanted to image my right breast again. She's like, well, there's something that I just want to make sure we're getting the right pictures of, and I saw it. And I walked out of there numb, because I'm like, I knew, I just knew. And I was with my daughter, actually, when I found out the day they did the biopsy and confirmed, for the most part, 80% chance that this is what it is. Until we get the results back, we're not 100% sure, but I was told by the radiologist to prepare myself for malignant results. And I'm so happy my daughter was here. She lives in Seattle, so I was really happy that she was with me. It was right after Christmas. She was here for break, and they called her. They brought her back from the waiting room. I had them go get her. Yeah, so.
Had you had a family history, or was this something that kind of came out of the blue?
Nope, out of the blue. And because of the type of cancer, my age, a lot of different factors, I was a candidate for the genetic testing. I have a daughter, a sister, 4 nieces that I wanted to, okay, if we've got something in our family, we need to know. And it all came back negative. There is no genetic linked to it. So not to say that they're safe by any stretch, but there's no genetic link to them to be worried, I guess, right now.
Yeah, thank goodness for that.
Right.
So we're here, we're sitting in a warehouse building on the floor here as you're painting your chairs. And these chairs are used as an expression of your experiences with cancer. So, well, first, how did you come to find this event in particular, this outlet? And did you find that when you were first diagnosed, things like this weren't readily available to you?
Well, I learned about the WBCC from a friend of mine, and her sister was hugely involved with the WBCC, and she was a mentor and a cancer survivor several times, and we lost her a few years ago, and I'm actually painting out of her box. Her sister gave me all her paint and her brushes, and so I started 5 years ago and started painting because of her and learned about the WBCC, and so I believe that strongly in the organization and what they do.
I joined a group through Columbia St. Mary's, just a talk group. Once a month we meet, and my nurse navigator actually introduced me to the group and put it out there, and I thought, well, I'm going to go find out what this rare chair business is all about. That first night, you know, I met all these wonderful people and ladies and their stories, and I was hooked.
Obviously, there's a lot of things that come at you after you're diagnosed. Here's step one, step two, step three. A lot of it is about your medical plan. This is a way for you guys to have an outlet for what you've gone through. Do they offer you that same kind of support in the hospital after they talk to you about your medical plan? Like, here's additional resource, like your talk group and things like that. Did you find that that was just as big of an aspect outside of the medical support that you were about to go through?
I do. This is a different, you know, art is such a different expression for everyone, and it's as unique as cancer. You know, one person's chair is unique to another person's, just like your cancer is just like a fingerprint. No two people have the same, even though if you have the same diagnosis, it's not the same treatment. Your body's not going to respond the same. So it was a better way to, I guess for me, to end this year on a really high note and do something beautiful with this year, because this year started out pretty damn awful. Sorry, I didn't mean to swear. It was a way to realize that, okay, this event's happening at the end of the year. I should be at this point in my treatment. And if everything goes as planned, I'm going to be cancer-free, and I'm going to be going to a big gala, and it's going to be amazing. And here we are.
How about for you?
Most of the chairs that I do are my way of expressing my feelings. I try to journal, but I'm not really good at journaling. I think a lot of them are expressions that I can do a different way, and I can show people. And when I journal, those are thoughts that I'm keeping to myself. And when I do art, everybody else gets to see how I'm feeling. And I like to do that, and I do it with a group of people that can do the same, and we all share a lot of the similar thoughts and feelings.
Now, can you describe your chair for me, Kelly?
Well, my chair is actually a bench, and it's an antique bench, and it's a bunch of broken pieces of glass. The design on it is a sunrise. And my granddaughter sings the Beatles song to me. And it's Here Comes the Sun. And basically at the end, her part is, it's all right. And we all feel like it's going to be all right. And the broken pieces of glass to me are like the broken pieces on my body and broken how I feel, but we're all beautiful no matter how broken we've been. So that's what the chair means to me.
And how has this event changed for you, either in your approach of the different chairs? This is your fifth time participating. Have you gained more confidence as an artist and as freedom of expression through painting and art?
No. I am definitely not an artist, but I try my best.
And I have to say that I amaze myself, honestly, each time. And that's the best part of this, is that you don't have to be an artist. And that the girls that are here help you, and they encourage you, and some of them love you, and you get through it, and in the end you are like, oh my gosh, I just did this beautiful piece of art and someone's gonna buy it. And that is what keeps you wanting to do it again next year and outdo yourself, maybe. So that's how I feel about it.
Tina, you mentioned you came at this as a plan of attack. You know, I'm gonna be at this point in my treatment, this is my goal. How have you found this experience to be?
Very rewarding. My daughter, as I said, was here over the summer. She came back and to visit me again, and she did a fair amount of work actually on the chair with me. A lot of the character art that is on my chair, she did. My chair is based on the story of Alice in Wonderland. Because I feel like being diagnosed with breast cancer, you fall down a rabbit hole and you land in a strange place where nothing makes sense. Pretty soon you're meeting all kinds of wacky new characters. They're giving you all kinds of advice. You've got to make decisions very quickly. You've got to be on your toes. You got to keep your wits about you. You have to be polite and patient. And I deemed the rabbit in the story my nurse navigator, because she's the one keeping track of time. You know, she's constantly there, you know, making sure that, you know, you're always doing things when you're supposed to be doing them. And then you shrink a lot. And pretty soon you grow larger than life for a while, at least in my case, with the reconstruction that I chose. And then after a while you get back to your regular size, but you're changed, you know, you're scarred, you're not the same person. And then at the end of the whole thing, you realize that you just survived a nightmare. So it's just been a really great experience, not only with her, but with everybody here, and just seeing, you know, kind of seeing this chair come to life. And like Kelly said, it's I amazed myself with how artistic I didn't realize I was.
You amazed me.
One thing that stands out to me with both of your stories, you know, especially you, Kelly, technically insurance wouldn't cover you for that mammogram. Do you think this needs to change because women younger and younger are getting breast cancer?
Yes, I do. That's part of why I'm involved with the WBCC, because those are the things that they go up against, you know, legislation for, things like that. And like Tina had said earlier, that she didn't have the gene. Well, I was diagnosed with the gene. I had the genetic testing done, and, you know, when my parents found that out, and they were asked to, well, not they were, but I have five brothers and sisters, and my mom was married prior to my being married to my father, and she had all those children. But in order for me to find out where, I'm not sure how I want to say it, but they could have had the testing done. My parents could have, but because they're senior citizens, it didn't pay for that. So all my siblings would have had to have been tested, and it would have been one easy test to see if it came from my mother's side or my dad's side, but it was so expensive for them to get it done, so each one of my siblings would have had it tested. And it was really hard, you know, for them to go through all of that. So, you know, they need to change that also. And I just feel like it should just be one easy test for people to go have done, so that it shouldn't be so hard for everybody.
What have you noticed that you've, like, changed or reformed in your experience?
Breast cancer is not pink, and it's not pretty. I have scars that will never go away, not just physical ones, but mental ones, emotional ones. My kids, cancer is a scary word. They've lost family members to cancer, and, you know, saying that word to my children was very, very difficult, even though it was caught early. And my story is probably one of the best success stories there is out there in terms of, you know, how I went through this. I'm a very strong person. I'm a very optimistic person. I'm a very positive person. At no point from day one Did I feel like this was going to take me out? I decided what was going to happen with my body. And cancer didn't stand a chance with me. But for a lot of people, you know, they're not strong like that, and it consumes them. So it's not just this pretty pink ribbon cancer that everybody thinks it is, I guess. And nothing against the pink ribbon. I mean, I support it. Pink has now become actually a good color in my life. I wasn't a big pink person before, but, you know, I've embraced that. But yeah, that would be, I guess, what I would like the message to be, that it's not pretty.
What have you been frustrated with, and what do you wish more people knew besides think pink?
Well, definitely get your mammograms. Don't wait. Know your body. Don't wait until tomorrow or next week, because in my case, I had that prescription waiting for me for 4 months because he thought he felt something. And just because he thought he felt something, it was something. And I should have just went. You know, don't be too busy. You're never too busy to save your life. Because I wouldn't be here. I've lost too many friends, and I don't want anybody else to have to lose a family member because they were too busy.
You mentioned cancer's not pretty, it's not pink, but yet you both are definitely creating beautiful things out of it. So what have you continued to learn as a veteran chair maker, a painter, and, you know, with this being your first time, what have you learned and what have you experienced and will take with you?
I guess the biggest thing I've learned is really how different this experience really is for everyone. It is very, very unique for each person, and everybody handles it differently. Everybody feels differently. Everybody heals differently. It's a unique experience for each person that's diagnosed. And I think that's true across the board with cancer in general, not just breast cancer. And I personally didn't realize how many types of breast cancer there were. I didn't realize the impact that it has on not just yourself, but everybody around you. Nobody fights alone. It is affecting your family too. So definitely I've learned that it's okay to lean on friends and lean on family, and that's tough. I'm very independent. Like, no, don't bring me any more soup. I have enough soup. I don't want any more soup. You know, I mean, it's like, but everybody just wants to do something to be there for you and help you. And I had to let people help me, and that was tough. So, yeah.
I learned how positive a person can be and how strong they can be and how they can put a smile on their face even though they don't feel like putting a smile on their face, and that strength will persevere. And I didn't realize that there are 25 hours in a day and I can volunteer my little heart out and help wherever I can, because I can never give back as much as I've been given since I've been a cancer patient survivor.
Kelly Gramblica and Tina Tim are breast cancer survivors and are featured artists in this year's Wisconsin Breast Cancer Coalition Rare Chair Affair. The event takes place on November 1st. You can find more information at wuwm.com.